You friendly bunch.
Can I make one quick announcement beforehand from Slavna?
Whatever, yeah.
Sorry, Chris.
Yeah.
Guys, just before Chris comes to speak to us, I think Swapna, and do you want to just kick off?
I'm just aware of the time, but
pray, more prayer.
I'm gonna pray.
Okay.
Yeah. Not fair.
Lord, just give Chris your words. Today, God, help him to just draw on you and to speak your truth, Lord. Pray your spirit in him. Pray that he speaks from the heart, and help us to hear it in the core of who we are today, God. So just be in this room, God. Come and just make this space holy. Amen. And make us receptive to God.
Amen. 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 Thank you. This has been a holy, holy, holy space, hasn't it? It's been a very special morning. I snuck back after the first song or two, and I said to Rachel, get the recording on, please, record. This has just been a very special morning, and it couldn't be better. You know, encountering God through Jesus Christ is what I am made for. And it's what you are made for. I want to give a very special welcome to Greg and Sharon from New South Wales to come all the way just to be with us this morning. And to play in the festival. But I think mainly to be here this morning. And Greg and Sharon, I was aware this morning that God had called you here. He'd brought you here. And he is speaking to you this morning. He has a solid, good word for you. Come all this way. And it's not too far to come to hear God's voice. And I know you're hearing him this morning. And he is speaking to you. And you're going to go home again. You're going to go away saying, that was a moment in our lives where God came and encountered with us. So thank you for coming. Thank you. We're going to put you on our map, okay? I'm going to show you a map in a minute. And you're going to be on it. This is a summer Sunday at CCE, and that means that many people are away and many people are coming. And if you're from somewhere, then welcome this morning. Welcome very, very much. If you're from anywhere, we put Yun Lu, our dearly beloved Chinese brother, who has been with us for the last year. He was on the plane, and he's back in Beijing now, sharing the light and the glory that he's received in the capital of that vast country. So many people away, many people on holiday or on mission, visiting family. There's the map. That's just a few of the places. That's the only places I could think of on the top of my head that I knew where some of us have been or are going over this period of time. Isn't that good? I find that wonderful to look at. Our mission is this big. It encompasses 7 billion people plus a few. I didn't count it today, but it's just over 7 billion. And we live on this globe. And that's it. That is the mission. And I am thrilled when we see God at work locally, intimately, in my own heart, changing, burning, refining. See it in my family, see it in my community, in our neighborhoods, in our land. God bless our governments. They would have wisdom to lead us in the right way, and we might have freedom and peace to live godly lives. But there's something beyond. There's a whole world of nations. And how many people stayed up to watch the end of the Olympic opening? Come on, you sad people. I was in bed. How many nations was that? And that was only a start. 204 was just the beginning. There are nations and nations and nations. You know, in China, they say, you know, we only have one language, but there's about 20 different languages. They can't understand one another, and yet it's all one language, but just one country. They went past as one of those, how many? 204. And there are nations within nations, and God loves every one known by name. I'm so thrilled that we can go. Maybe you just went on holiday. Some of these are holiday destinations. Some of them are serious mission destinations. But who cares? I heard somebody say, what do you mean, do I do mission? I am on mission. I'm on the earth. I came from another planet. I'm here on earth on mission. And so whatever I do, wherever I am here as the light of the world. When these guys went to Canada, you brought the light of Jesus Christ that is in you. And I'm thrilled that we get to touch these places and they come and touch us too. So this is our summer Sunday. The theme of our summer has been set as encounter. And I feel very inspired by that. I feel this morning has been a good opportunity for us to linger and to grow in an understanding of what it means to accidentally come across the living God. And we've been doing that. He's been knocking on our door, and we're trying to make room for him. So this morning, the last few weeks we've heard from Liz, from Ashley, from Naomi, from Malcolm, and last week some interviews. I've not been around for all of those, but I've heard some of the girls. And I have to say, I love our girls, and I think they've done amazingly well. And I envy their succinctness. Amen. Amen, says Colin, because we can't do that, can we? But not only have they been succinct, but they've shared powerful things. And I wish I could review them all this morning, but I can't. We don't have time, so please, please go on their website and download them and listen to them half a dozen times. They're solid gold in many of the things that have been shared this summertime. I just want to touch on one of those things in particular this morning. I want to look at, share this morning about the M40 and the M80. Now, for all you travel enthusiasts, you're going to get excited. I know Colin, he gets excited about trams and buses. M40, Cole. M80. Oh, yes. Oh, high-speed train lines. Yes. So cool. Isn't that exciting? Two roads that we can walk on as we seek to make a difference in this world. There they are, all the M's. M is something, for those who are from different countries, that we use to describe our motorways. It stands for Moses. So there's Moses 1, Moses 2, Moses 3. It's different routes that Moses has taken to try and find God, all right? And this morning we heard about Moses 33. That was one of the better roads. And Moses 34, we sang that. But this morning we're going to look just briefly at Moses 40 and Moses 80, okay? I found M40 on there. I can't find M80. Does anybody see it? It's up the top. The M80 goes into Glasgow. Okay, we found it. Hooray! It's one of the lesser known roads going to... Oh, no, I won't say anything about Glasgow. So Anne and I... No, I didn't say anything. Okay. I upset somebody so badly once when I said something about Glasgow. Anne and I have been away. We had a couple of nights in Killin. We were in the Caper Cayley restaurant, sitting there, having a lovely time. And she says, so what are you going to do with your life? And I said... I said, save the world and give a good account when I stand before my Maker. And... she went on to talk about something else. I don't know where. There's so many things that get in the way of saving the world and doing good. I don't know if you found that. I want to do it. I want to touch every one of those people and have them know the glory of God. And I don't know how to do it. I have tried different things, and right now, apathy. I'm working on apathy. I don't think that works either. So many things stand in our way. Liz, when she began this series for us... That's Liz. There's nothing funny about Liz. What? Okay. I've got to carry on. There's not much time. When she shared that she shared many good things, she asked the question, why did Jesus have to die? There's so much good in there. But the one thing that really hit me on the head, it struck me hard, was two mentalities. She spoke about two mentalities. She said, we are in a spiritual battle. You can agree or disagree, but it doesn't change the reality. We're in a battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And there are two mentalities. There is a peacetime mentality and a wartime mentality. What do we live in? How are we living? Are we living peacetime, where we seek to tidy up our lives, have them presentable, but mainly comfortable and prosperous and a sense of well-being? Those are good things. God wants them for us. He's preparing a place where we'll have those things. But today is not the day where we live in prosperity and well-being, that is the be-all and the end-all. That's a peacetime mentality. And we're in a battle. We're in a war, in a spiritual war zone. And so there's another mentality, a wartime mentality, that says the goal is moving the battle forward. And there's a willingness to sacrifice time, energy, and resources. There is something that is worth fighting for. There's something that is worth... You guys, I'm trying to be serious here. Oh, we're way ahead. So Jesus said, be alert. Your country needs alerts. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, be alert. Your country needs alerts. Come on, be obedient. Desperate times call for desperate measures. And we may not know how to take on the battle. We may not know how to conduct ourselves or how to face up to the challenges. But we can be alert. We can be awake. We can be like the watchman on the wall who's left there all night long to do nothing but stare out into the darkness to see if anything or anybody is coming. That's what we can do. We can stay awake. Okay, moving over to Lollipop. Jeez. I personally live with a fear of being lukewarm. I don't like to be spat out. I don't like the thought of Jesus spitting me out of his mouth because I'm neither hot nor cold. And so when Lisa was up there sharing this morning, I said, I welcome the fire. I don't like burning flesh. But I really would rather be hot than lukewarm. And I'm afraid of it. I'm afraid of being lukewarm and just trundling through life half-heartedly and dripping off the end. It just somehow is not what I was made for, nor is it what you are made for. Going through life dozy and half asleep. I can't read my notes. Use my glasses. Can I be okay when 925 million people are starving today? Is that okay? Am I all right with that? Am I just thinking about what am I going to have for lunch, or maybe where I'm going to go for holidays next year? Is that okay to live in a community of people descended from the same family that are starving today? They don't have any food. I'm not talking about, you know, don't have food to eat. I'm not sure I'm okay with that, but I'm not sure what to do about it. Can I be okay when people all around me are destined for a lake of fire and they have no gold inside them? Is that okay? See people submitting to burning flesh when there's no gold there. Is that okay? I'm not sure it's okay. And I'm not sure half-hearted meandering through life is appropriate in that situation. What do you think? And yeah, I don't know what to do about it. I've tried. I really tried, okay, to do the stuff. Okay. Making a difference is tricky.
If I act, am I being presumptuous? If I don't act, am I being foolish and lazy? Jesus warned his disciples to be alert, ready to act, watching, waiting for his command. Okay, a little bit of my story. This time last year, someone organized for us to do a prayer walk. I think it was the brand new Mrs. Conway. Let's all hear it for Sarah Young turned Conway. Yee! Actually, I have the very water that Sir Christopher and Princess Sarah drank from yesterday as they were getting married. It's true. I'm going to drink from it now. That was for you, Chris and Sarah. Hope you're having a nice time. Sarah organized for some of us to go on a prayer walk. We were going to pray for the students who are about to descend upon our beloved city. And I went out with Brian and with Rachel. And we just sauntered along the road, heading up the way there with all, you know, joys of spring and no cares in the world. And as we were walking, Rachel happened to mention, as we got towards Bristol Square, she said, you know, there's going to be about 5,000 people descend on us who have never been, first time, never been to university before, and just arriving. 5,000 people. Young people. Young, impressionable people. People who have never tasted this measure of freedom before, who will be handed a condom and a map of the best beer pubs and told to go and enjoy themselves for a week. And it pained me. I suddenly lost all my joy and I got very, very serious. I just got really depressed, actually. I said, how on earth can we carry 5,000 people? Young people that need mentoring, need guidance, need encouragement, they just need a family probably to go and be normal and not feel like they've got to go and act like Jackass the Third. You know, who's going to be there when all these people arrive? I don't know how to do that. And it was depressing. I got very, very depressed, and we prayed. And I just didn't really know what to do. The next week, Lisa and I arrived early at church. We were intentional. We were going to go and pray some more. If you can't do anything else, then pray. We pulled up the car, and as we were getting out, there was a young girl walking past. We thought, ha, maybe she's a new student. We said, hi, welcome to Edinburgh. She said, you know the way to the library? Yes, we're going there. Well, we are now. And so we walked along with her to the university library. And she was a nice girl. Maybe she was an angel. I'm not quite sure because we didn't see her after that. Maybe she was just a nice girl. As we got towards the library, we noticed there was quite a crowd outside the library. And we thought, wonder what's going on here. Turned out that it was the church search. All the local churches were there, apart from us, because they'd forgotten, I think, holding up these nice banners that had been specially laminated and made. Man, we scurried around, found a scrappy bit of paper. Can borrow your pencil? CCE. And they came and talked to us. He said, that church over there is awesome. That one there, it's a really amazing church. Go and try those ones. And we just were having a fun time. And then we had to leave. And because we were the first ones to leave, a couple of the Chinese folk who were meant to be going to the Chinese church decided to come with us because it would be quicker. And to learn our culture, to find out, you know, what makes Scottish men really tick, let's go to church with them and see. And the rest is kind of history. We've had around about 30 young Chinese people who have joined their hearts into ours. And we feel thoroughly knit together with you. We are family. We've been having Chinese family time, haven't we? Ah, it's been so good. So good. I've got this great pile of books at home. It's about 20 books now, I think, all about China or learning Chinese. I haven't read any of them, but I just figure if they sit there long enough, it's going to come to me by osmosis. So, right. We've tried different ways in the past how to save the world. We have trained for 13 years at the feet of the leaders here in this church. We have been to Bible College for a year. We have helped to plant a new church in the East Lothian community of North Berwick that you're going to discover next week. We had a plan. We knew how to do this. We figured it out, okay? You just plant a church. Then you go to the next town and you plant a church that's going to plant churches. And then you go to the next town and you plant a church that will plant churches that will plant churches. And by a simple act of mathematics, you can save the world within a lifetime. And so we boldly went where no one else, apart from a few others, had been, to the next town of Haddington. And there we began a church with 12 other people. And 5 years later, our numbers had risen right up to 12 people. And in the process, we've offended quite a number of people, upset people. And I'm making it sound quite bad. It wasn't altogether bad. There were some very, very good things. Our children grew and encountered God in that process. But we were not being fruitful in the way that we had hoped. Our whole world was still waiting out there, and we'd reached 12 people. And so we reluctantly closed the door. We just made sure everyone had a home, somewhere to go. And we sneaked back in the door here, sat on the back row and tried to stay out of people's way and leave early. I just was depressed, disillusioned, and confused. Spent some of the best years of my life, energies of our lives. And I don't have a lot of clever answers now. I'm not sure that I've got a strategy that I can take off the shelf and give us. Okay, let's look at M40. I'm going to turn to Exodus chapter 2. Does anybody actually have a Bible anymore? Or is it, yeah, or phones? Yes, lots of Bibles. Excellent. I'm going to ask Lisa and then Jamin are going to come and read for us, first in English and then in Chinese. Just want you to hear it. It sounds beautiful. So we're going to read Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15. You've got it there. Oh, you're all prepared.
Exodus chapter 2, 11 to 15. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, What I did must have become known. When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well.
后来摩西长大了，他去看望做苦工的希伯来同胞，看见一个埃及人在殴打他的一个希伯来同胞，他左右观望，见四下无人，便下手杀了那埃及人，把尸体埋藏在沙地里。第二天他又出去，看见两个希伯来人在打架。 便过去对理亏的人说：“你为什么打自己的同胞呢？”那人说：“你以为你是谁啊？谁令你做我们的首领和审判官？难道你要杀我，像杀那个埃及人一样吗？”摩西听了，害怕起来，心想：“我做的事一定被人知道了。”法老听说这件事后，便想杀死摩西。摩西为了躲避法老，就逃到米甸居住。一天。
Is that it? Yeah. No, we'll do the other one in a minute. Thank you. We may get him back for more. Do you know one in five people in the world speak like that? Did you know that? That aren't English. I find it thrilling and exciting just to hear God's word in a language understood by one in five people in this world. Okay. The nation of Israel is in slavery. It's in a foreign land. Any increase that they have, any new birth, is being stolen away and thrown into the Nile. One of these baby Hebrew boys is drawn out, Moshe, drawn out of the river by Pharaoh's daughter, and is elevated to the status of a prince in Egypt. He is given all of the benefits of a prince, of an education, of training, of position, of circulating among leaders, of army military commanders, of understanding strategy and ways of governing and leading and ruling a people, ways of shaping a great, a vast congregation. And he was well prepared. He was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. And he was very well prepared. And he wasn't just a quick spark. You know, he was 40 years old, for goodness sake. That's twice the age of half of you. It's old, isn't it? Really old. 40 is not just some impetuous youth. As somebody who's old and has waited patiently, knowing their calling, knowing God's imprint upon their lives. My name is Moshe. I live to fulfill God's destiny for my life, to draw out of Egypt this people and make them into a new nation. That's what I can feel it. I can see it. Every time I go out in the morning in my chariot, and I know how to lead people. I understand what is to be done. And this is the M40, okay? It's a nice, big, wide, open road. Acts chapter 7 tells us, gives us a little more insight. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for in his father's house. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When he was 40 years old, he decided to visit his fellow Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them. But they did not. I mean, what's gone wrong here? He's trained. He's ready. He's the right man. And everything is falling to pieces. It just is not working. He's doing the right stuff. He's doing what he was made for. And it just is not happening. Instead of saving a nation at the Red Sea, he finds himself way out in the desert at a well, saving a few shepherd girls. And he thought, this is not it. What is missing from this picture? Can you see the deliberate omission? What's missing? Is anything missing? You're all far too shy to have a go at that one. He's called, he's destined, he's trained, he's prepared. But where's the commission? Where's the sending? Where does it say, and God spoke to Moses and said, which we read again and again and again and again and again after chapter 3. In fact, that's how he lives. And God spoke to Moses. That's his life. But at age 40, it just seems that that was missing. There was enough energy. There was enough soul power to make this thing work. And the M40, so wide and straight, seems so well signposted, so easy, so fast, sails off into the sunset. It's perfect. Takes you right up to London for the Olympic Games. but it ends up in a nasty traffic jam that leaves you stranded and unable to reach your destination. Funny thing is, it didn't say that on the sign at the beginning. Ever had that experience? I have. Right, I've got a wee problem here. Firstly, that clock is going to stop. Secondly, I didn't think there was an M80. Colin has just shattered all my illusions. Let's pretend for a minute there isn't one, okay? There's not a real one. Because I'm making one up. So spoil the point of it. Don't think about the M80, okay? It's not on the map. It's off the map. We're going to look at another road now that's also called the M80, okay? Moses 80. Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. This road is narrow. It's full of bends. It's unpredictable. You can't see what is coming around the corner. There are few signs and indicators. It's off the map. If we take this road, we must proceed with care. Do you want to hear a little bit more English and Chinese? Come on now. 1 to 5. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. Should we do Chinese first? Come on.
摩西为岳父米甸祭司叶忒罗放羊。一天，他领着羊群穿越旷野，来到上帝的山——何烈山。忽然，有耶和华的天使在旌旗里的火焰中向他显现。摩西看见旌旗虽然在燃烧，却没有被烧毁。摩西想，我要过去看这个奇异的情景，旌旗为什么没有被烧掉呢？ 耶和华上帝见他要上前观看，就从荆棘丛中呼唤他说：“摩西，摩西，摩西说，我在这里。”上帝说：“别再靠近，脱下你脚上的鞋子，因为你所站的地方是圣地。”Now
Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that the bush was on fire. The bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up? Then the Lord saw that he had gone over to look. God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you're standing is holy ground.
Thank you, girls. Should we give them a wee clap? Yeah. Forty years on, we're in the desert with sheep. They smell. They're not too nice. No more wisdom. No more powerful speeches. No more powerful acts. The hope and the calling are long buried under an acceptance of half-hearted, dismal making do. There's no drawing out. There's no Red Sea. There's no new nation. I'm not even among the right people here. What am I doing? Just a desert, some sheep, and a bush. I mean, there are many bushes. There are many bushes all over this desert place. Dry, dusty, desert bush place. And quite often they catch on fire in a dry, dusty, desert bush place. But this one is unusual because it doesn't seem to be burning up. It's burning, but it's not burning up. And he's arrived at a mountain that they call the mountain of God. It's called Horeb, which means parched, desolate, dried up, destroyed. Harab, which is where the word comes from, and I'm not even going to look at Colin. I'm right, okay, for today, I'm right. Am I right, Col? I've got a few Hebrew books that sit in my room as well. How dried up do we need to get before we will find ourselves at God's mountain. Go, Phoebe! You know, when it used that word appears many times in the Bible. When God cleared the way through the Red Sea, it says he cut up the sea. He dried up. It was dried up. Drying up can be a good thing. And when God spoke through Isaiah, his prophet, saying, I will dry you up. I will make you into a wasteland. We think it's it is a judgment, but it's an appeal to come to a place where we can meet, where you will stop giving me all of your good ideas and listen. And I wonder how many great strategies and good plans and busy agendas must fail before we can come to the place of yielded, dependent encounter. Encounter is not a meeting. There's something unexpected, something unanticipated, something uncharted about an encounter. It's out with our control. We don't like that very much, especially we do spreadsheets. And you can't do a spreadsheet for an encounter. If we arrange a meeting, we set the time and the place, that's a meeting. If it happens in a way we do not control or anticipate, it's an encounter. An unexpected meeting where I am not in control. Literally, it means to be in against, facing opposite, face to face, countenance to countenance. I see you. You see me. I know you. You know me. It says just before the passage that we read there that God looked on the Israelites, and in my translation it's so inadequate. It says he was concerned about them. He looked on the Israelites and he was concerned about them. It says yada. He knew them. He was inside them. He understood them. He pained with them. He knew them. And now he's calling from within this bush, just as he called to a man who was in a bush in the Garden of Eden. Adam, where are you? And now he's calling from the bush, saying, Moses, where are you? Are you there? Have you emptied yourself out sufficiently that we can do business? And he reveals his name to Moses at that place. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. I'm the God who made those promises to your forefathers, who said, I will give you a land, I will give you influence, I will make you a blessing and not a curse. And whoever blesses you, I will bless. You will be a blessing among the nations. That's the God I am, Moses, the one who came to your father and your forefather and your forefather. Colin was singing this morning. I was right next to him. If you want good worship, just stand next to Colin. He's saying, God of Jacob, God of Jacob. He's still the God of Jacob. He's still the God of the promises. And he is stirring up something fresh in Moses in this encounter. Yahweh. And now we're using his personal name. It's not just God, but it's his name. Hashem, the name. Yahweh, Yehovah, Yahuwah. I don't know how you say it. It's his name. And he reveals his name. He reveals himself, his person, his inner being and thoughts. Not just so that Moses would know about him from a distance, but that he would look into his eyes face to face, panim, like Colin said, knowing. And God says, I know their suffering. Moses, I know their suffering. Our world is in pain. God knows our world is in pain. He knows it. He's not divorced. He's not separate. He has clothed himself in flesh so that he would know and understand our plight and our pain. And he says, so now, Moses, now go. It's so inconvenient. I'm right out of energy. I'm right out of plans. I'm right out of resources to do this anymore, God. Have I been ignoring you guys over here? Sorry, I'm just going to speak to these guys for a moment, all right? I'm almost done. Sorry about that. The time has come. His time. It's his time now. Now. And the commission has come. 10 times in the following exchange, God said, Yahweh said, God said, God also said, Yahweh said, Yahweh said, then Yahweh said, then Yahweh said, then Yahweh said, Yahweh said, 10 times in this exchange. 10 times Yahweh gives Moses a command, a word, a task. He says, go, worship, say, go, go, ask, throw, take, put, go. Moses has received a commission. It's the one thing that he was missing. It's the one thing that he lacked in all of his qualification was the word to go. God commissioning him. And I wonder how many times we have read in our wishes into somebody else's commission. It's time for us to wait on God and to hear his voice for ourselves. That commission comes through a personal encounter. It doesn't come through good ideas, logic, human wisdom, or even good Bible knowledge. Although that really, really helps. It sets the framework. It sets the parameters whereby we can recognize God's word when it comes. But we cannot just assume because God has spoken to one person that he's spoken to us. He said to one man, go and tell everybody. He said to another man, don't tell anybody. That was the other great commission. Do you remember that one? And the one who went, even though he was told not to go, caused Jesus harm. So we cannot assume. It's time to listen and to lay down our good ideas and find the fruitfulness of hearing him and following him. That's the MAT. So which road will we take? The M40, it's nice and clear, straight, broad, well signposted, predictable, and fast. Or the MAT. Not that one, okay. My one. Narrow, unsigned, uncharted. Are we going to go by human wisdom and strength or by dependence upon encounter? I think God would call us again to lay down our plans, our strength, and our wisdom, and to look for him, to stand on the wall and watch and wait and lay down our plans and listen. If we choose that road, we will participate in his mission. We'll find ourselves doing our part of his mission. I discovered something in my last 30 years, and it's something that John the Baptist discovered too. Two great confessions in the Gospels, when Peter said, you are the Christ, and when John the Baptist said, he confessed, he did not deny, I am not the Christ. And I've figured that out. I hope I keep remembering it. I'm not the Christ. Can't do it. Just can't do it. He can do it, and he's supposed to do it. And if I'm careful and listen, I might get to play a part. I might get to go along and see. We'll find ourselves participating in a fruitful mission to save this world and be able to give a good account when we stand again before our Maker. Let's all stand, shall we? ask the band to be there, make some nice sounds. Just find a place for a moment, would you? We're going to take a few more minutes. Just make a place. Find a place that is suitable for you. You can sit, you can kneel, you can lie face down on the ground. You can go up to the cross on the stage. You can go up into the balcony. Just find a place for a moment.
Just wanted to add this because I don't think Chris saw God's deliberate joke. Chris loves jokes and he brings us jokes and God speaks through them. And God knew that the M80 is quite local for us. Of all the people who could access this message, of all the people who would think this might be for them, it's the people in central Scotland. And Chris didn't know that, but God knew it. So it's not only one of God's delightful jokes, but it's just an extra seal on that message being for us here. It's for us.